In the name of Jesus, who is the Lord of the church, their fellow redeemed. In the pages of Holy Scripture, there are a number of things that people have a hard time accepting. I mean, sometimes they just don't understand what the words mean. Other times they know exactly what the words mean, and they don't want to hear it. They take offense at it. Well, at the top of the list of potentially offensive statements in Scripture is one that we have included in our text today. You probably already know what I'm talking about. Wives, submit to your husbands. Tell me that hasn't riled up a few people. And I don't just mean like out there somewhere. I mean like in here too. Have there been times where you and I have maybe thought, really? Wives, submit? That sounds so old-fashioned. Why would the Bible say that? That sounds like sexist or chauvinistic or paternalistic. Why say that? I mean, that can't be something that's going to just bring people together. Feels like it's something going to divide them. If you've ever had thoughts like that, or you've ever been in a conversation with people who have expressed thoughts like that, I'm glad you're here today. Because we're going to take a little closer look at those words and see what they mean, what they don't mean, and how that statement about wives really parallels a statement about husbands, and how both of them together, when viewed in the context of the relationship between Christ and Christians, really forms the foundation for a God-pleasing, harmonious marriage covenant. Today, we continue our sermon series entitled One Way to One, as we focus on the unity that the Holy Spirit creates in our hearts as we study the roles that God has for husbands and wives. Our sermon theme is pretty simple: God's blueprint for marriage. There are two statements. First, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Let's start with the command that seems to be the harder one of the two, right? I mean, if you had a choice between love your spouse or submit to your spouse, which would you choose? It almost feels like God's kind of set the bar a little higher for women than he has for men. That's really not the case. Let's see why. Let's start with the statement itself. Wives, submit to your husbands, submit yourselves to your own husbands. If we're honest, I think a lot of people when they hear the word submit immediately have a negative reaction, right? There's a negative connotation to that. They think that, well, that means to submit means to cave. To buckle, to give in. It's kind of like the picture of somebody twisting your arm behind your back until you cry, "Uncle, I submit." For many people, it's like an expression of weakness. You're in a position of inferiority now. That is not how Scripture uses the word submit. The word that the Apostle Paul uses here is a Greek word. It's called hypotasso. It's actually a compound of two different words. Hypo literally means under, and tasso means order. So the word is under order, not under armor, under order. Putting things in order under something or someone, in this case, someone who has authority. If we were to speak Greek today, we might use this term to describe what happens in the first grade classroom when the fire alarm goes off, rather than every student going, me first, I'm most important, I'm getting out of here. They all are trained to hypotasso their teacher. They're trained to line up behind their teacher. Is that because they're less important than she is? Less valuable? No. This isn't, it's for the sake of order, for their good, that they submit to her, they hypotasso her. And that act of submitting on their part really includes an idea of trust. They're trusting their leader. They're trusting that their leader is not going to lead them into the fire, but lead them away from the fire. That's what the word submit means. It means to simply acknowledge that you are under somebody in a position of authority who is in a position to benefit you, to care for you, to lead you where you need to go. That's why the Bible uses this term to describe the relationship between a wife and her husband. Think about it. When God created man and woman, two different sects, in the Garden of Eden, he created man first, and he gave to Adam the role of head. And to Eve, who was created from Adam, for Adam, he gave the role of helper. God says, I will make a helper suitable for him. Now understand, that word helper is not a term of weakness. In fact, the majority of the times this word is used in Scripture, it's applied to who? To God. God is our helper. God meets our needs. He fills in what we're missing. The point is this. When God says the husband is the head and the wife is the helper, he's not talking about one's superior and one's inferior, one's strong, one's weak. They're equal. They're simply playing different roles. God has put the husband in a position of authority to use that authority to care for the needs of his God-given spouse. And if he doesn't, God will hold him accountable. How do I know that? Because that's what happened to our first parents, right? When Eve first ate the fruit and then gave some to Adam, what the Bible says was with her, who does God come looking for? Adam, where are you? God knows, Adam, you've got a problem in your marriage. You did not carry out your role properly. You should have used your authority to say, Eve, don't touch that. But he doesn't. And Eve decides, well, I'll be the boss here. I'll make this decision. And there have been problems ever since. But just because sin caused both of them to throw off their God-given roles, that doesn't mean those God-given roles are bad. They're still good. This is how God designs marriage to work. For the benefit of everyone involved, even in a fallen world, those roles still apply. The problem is, everybody in the world is a sinner. And therefore, everybody in the world ultimately, by nature, loves themselves more than anyone else. And so they don't want to serve. They don't want to submit. And they end up sinning against each other in the process. And that's not good. That creates pain and heartache. But this is where Jesus fits in marriage. You see, because God knows that every wife is married to a husband who's less than perfect, every wife is married to a husband who sometimes is not unselfish, who can be downright dense at times, and I know I am one, because God knows what husbands are really like. He connects a wife's submission, not so much to her husband as to someone even greater than her husband, and that's Jesus. Paul puts it this way. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Wives, you realize what that means? It means when there are times where you feel like your wife doesn't or your husband doesn't deserve your respect, when he really isn't being a very good head, you might need to kind of look right past him and see Jesus standing behind him. You may need to say, Jesus, for your sake, I'll submit to him. Because you're my real head, I'll put myself under your appointed representative. I'll do that for you. In fact, that picture of a relationship between a wife and her husband is really a picture of the relationship between all Christians and Jesus. Paul puts it this way. Now, as the church, Christians, submit to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. In other words, just as you and I as a Christian are not coerced into calling Jesus our Lord, and we're not embarrassed to say, Jesus is my head, so also a wife is not coerced or embarrassed to recognize that her husband is in that same position as her God-given leader. She still is comfortable with who she is. She recognizes she's a blood-bought child of God. She's gifted by God. And now she has the freedom to kind of bloom under this umbrella of love and protection and, yes, even authority that God has set up in her marriage. And yet I have to say that as important as it is for a wife to realize where Jesus fits in the marriage structure, it's even more important for a husband to recognize the same thing. In fact, that's the second half of the blueprint. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You realize that in this section, Paul spends more time talking about husbands than he does about wives. Why do you think that is? Could it be that Paul realizes that when husbands faithfully carry out their role, when they really do love their wives as Christ loves us, when they don't see themselves as the head master, but as really the head servant, like Jesus did when he washed their feet, when a husband puts his love into action like Jesus did on the cross, well, that's what allows a wife to say, well, wait a minute, if that's how you're going to treat me like Jesus does, I'll let you be my head. I want you in that role. But there's another reason that Paul spends more time on the husband's role. It's so that he can then also point to the husband's role model, Jesus. He puts it this way. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And then he goes on to say all the ways that God or Jesus shows his love to you and me. He gave himself up for her. Why did he do that? Paul says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. There's a reference to our baptism, right? Washing us clean. All for what purpose? To present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Isn't that an amazing picture? I mean, the picture of Jesus taking this ragtag bunch of filthy sinners like you and me, derelict dads, bossy moms, rebellious children, and with his blood, he makes them all holy. He washes them clean, and he dresses them up in a stunning robe of his righteousness. And then he declares that they are his bride, radiant. You realize who the bride is? It's you and me. This is the most important part of God's blueprint for marriage. To realize who you are in Christ. To realize what God has done for husbands and wives, broken as we are, in Christ. I mean, it's still true. God says, wives submit, husbands love. But recognize, those are both statements of God's law. That's what God demands. That's his will for our lives. And God's law always also serves as a mirror. And when we hear those words, we see things about ourselves that we don't like. I hear God say that and I go, you know, I'm not doing that. I don't love my wife as much as Jesus does. And it forces wives to confess, man, I've sometimes chafed under the role of my husband. And the guilt and the resentment and the shame and the disappointment that those sins create have the potential to tear apart any marriage. Which is why it is so important. Whether you've got a great marriage or you've got a hurting marriage, it's critical to go back to the gospel. Right? Confess the sins you've committed against your spouse and God. And then see yourself as God sees you in Christ. You are holy. You are blameless. Husbands, see your wife as Jesus sees her. She's stunning. No matter what she looks like on the outside, she is flawless in God's eyes. Treat her that way. Love her. See her as the bride and recognize God has put you into her life, this stunning, radiant bride, to care for her, to love her, to protect her, to lead her. And wives, believe it when God says, you look marvelous. You're stunning. You don't have to compete for God's affection. You already have it. He is 100% committed to you. And it's that commitment that God has to you that allows you to now also commit yourself to your husband, to entrust yourself into his care and protection, to see him as a little image of Jesus in your life. And anything you do for him, you're ultimately doing for Jesus. The bottom line is this. If you or someone else you know is struggling with the roles in marriage, here's my advice. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus once said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. When we focus on that self-sacrificing love that Jesus has shown to us, when we realize that He has made us His stunning bride, it empowers us to carry out our roles willingly. Roles that God has designed in a marriage to bring harmony and happiness to the people of this world and give us a little taste of what a really great marriage in heaven is going to be like. The one that we have with our groom, Jesus Christ. God keep us in His grace until that glorious wedding banquet in heaven above. Amen. Please stand.
Hey, thank you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or over on Spotify, subscribe to get sermon podcasts weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.